Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Injured at work in a motor vehicle accident or had a fall in a public space? Speak to Your Claim Lawyers, a no-win, no-fee personal injury claims law firm that specialises in maximising compensation claims for injured people. Call 1-800-YOUR-CLAIM or yourclaimlawyers.com.au.
Tennis Direct are Australia's favourite online tennis store with fast delivery and great prices. Free delivery on orders over $150. Just visit their website, tennisdirect.com.au, and you can get a 10% discount store-wide. Just use the promo code FIRSTSERVE10. That's FIRSTSERVE10.
Welcome to Crunching the Numbers, the First Serve's in-depth look at the art and science of playing the game.
Well, hello and welcome to another episode of Crunching the Numbers. I'm Mark Sepulis from the Tennis Menu. And we are joined, as always, by the man who is the count. He counts sheep in his sleep. He does all the numbers. He adds everything up. Shane Leonard from Data Driven Sports Analytics. You are the genius behind this show. Thank you so much for joining us once again.
Thanks, Mark. You've gone back to an older introduction, right? I thought you were something new.
Dude, tennis coaches just recycle their information, as you well know. And if you can hear another voice in the background, it's because today we have a very special guest, and it's someone who I have had the pleasure of coaching for over the last probably 18, 19 months, whatever it's been. Shane, you've been a part of in terms of the team. It's Catherine Westbury, WTA player. Catherine, thank you so much for joining us from your hub, your quarantine area. Thank you so much for taking the time to chat to us today.
Thank you for having me over, guys. Well, from hotel quarantine, so this should be interesting.
I know you've got nothing to do, so I thought we'd fill in your day with a little bit of podcasting and get you on. But the reason we've got you on, you're actually our last guest and probably part of our last show for 2020. And we wanted to talk a little bit about what 2020 was actually like for a professional athlete who obviously COVID has really shaken the world up and it's shaken the tennis world in particular. And I know you're originally from New Zealand. You've been in Melbourne for the last several years training with, you know, and coaching and so forth. Your journey is a little different. So just to paint the picture for the listeners out there. So Catherine was a former top 500 player in the world, played Fed Cup for New Zealand, peak of her powers at the age of 21, got an ACL injury, which basically put her career on hold. 5 years later, decided she wanted to come back and play. And here you are today, 1 year into your comeback as a pro athlete. Firstly, let's go back to that. How does it feel to come back after so long being out of the game?
Well, it's quite an special feeling, I think. Can't really describe it, but it took a bit of time to get to this point. It took quite a bit of time to actually feel that I'm quite committed to coming back here and on this journey and actually giving it 100%. It was... I think the love for tennis never went away, but it was, I think, in a different kind of way for a couple of years, you know, coaching and just stepping outside of the game and stuff. And then I started playing a few local tournaments, money tournaments, and then realized that, okay, I still really miss, I really love competing. I still miss it. And, you know, that sparked the start of that comeback, but it's been a special journey so far.
What did you think you learned in that sort of time away from tennis or time away from competitive tennis at that level? What did you think you learned?
Well, I think I really learned that there is a life outside of tennis as well, and there is something coming after, you know, you finish up your career. There is a whole life ahead of you, and there is the social life, there's a family, there's just like I was able to have a lot of quality time with a lot of different people, family, friends that I never had before, and able to sort of, I guess, fill myself on all the lost times during the first time I was playing. Yeah. So that part as well was, I don't know, just seeing the game in a totally different way now because of having stopped playing, having done things differently, haven't like started coaching, you know, doing my coaching course and stuff. So coming back, it's different. Yeah.
It's obviously, it was a challenge for you over that time. And you said you found that love again to play, mm-hmm. which is great. So, you know, when you first decided that this was going to be your comeback, you know, it's not just about picking up the racket and playing a tournament. It's, mm-hmm. it was the first couple of weeks like getting back into it.
Well, it was not an overnight feeling, actually. It took me quite a bit of time. It took me a good couple of, I'd say a month or two or even more to really transition. Like it started slowly. So the first couple of weeks I started to get back to watching tennis matches again, you know, and then started to get updated with the players who are my age, who are still competing, and just started to put myself out there again and, you know, see, okay, they're still playing. This is still going on, da, 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 da. But it took a bit of time. And then, you know, I had to go on court. I had to play some more matches. I had to just really get myself into that process again. It really was not like, okay, that's it, I'm coming back. Not at all.
Let's look at now. You're back on the tour. Obviously, we got to the start of this year, and this year was going to be our first year back playing. Your first two tournaments, you know, you went to New Zealand and mm-hmm. you played Mildura, and you hadn't played for 5 years. Now, to mm-hmm. paint the picture, you qualified for both events and ended up making semis of New Zealand as well as semis of doubles, and you made quarters of Mildura. Mm-hmm. Now, talk us through those emotions and those feelings when you probably were doubting whether or not, you know, you were capable of playing the level, and in your first mm-hmm. two events back, you actually were pretty successful.
Yeah, I think a lot of it was because I went in there with no expectations at all. And I was it was just amazing to just be back there competing again. And what was really special was starting the first tournament in Hamilton. That was where I first got my WTA point like 10 years ago. So that was a special place to start. And then it was just being back competing and no expectations, and then went out there and played such free tennis. And, you know, that was very memorable for me. And same with Mildura. I was going through a knee injury at that time. So I didn't even enter that tournament. So I didn't even expect to get in and play that, let alone, you know, win those couple of matches. The two tournaments were a very nice surprise indeed.
You mentioned sort of your first WGA points in Hamilton. And I remember one of the first conversations we had was around, you know, at some point in the year, it'd be great to sort of get that first WTA points. You achieved mm-hmm. that. I think within your second tournament, you had a WTA point already and got a ranking. How did you feel and when that happened?
That was, I think, I keep using the word special, but really unexpected as well, because you needed obviously either to play three tournaments and get a point from each tournament to be ranked, or 10 points in, I think, one go or two go, I'm not sure. And like, obviously got a couple from New Zealand and then a couple from Mildura, and then it was on a touch and go whether I was going to be ranked or not, and then COVID hit. So it was like a very touch and go, and then realizing that I was ranked after two tournaments was it was like winning a mini jackpot, I think. And then yeah.
The funny story behind that is we were all diving into the WTA rulebook, reading it
over
and
over
again, just going, I think it's happened, but we just need to double check.
Over and over. That's right.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And look, obviously it was a special moment to know that you got your first WTA points after the five-year layoff. And mm-hmm. It was a pretty special moment for us as a team. But then obviously COVID hit. Now, mm-hmm. as you said, you actually had a bit of a knee injury going to Mildura, and what we actually found out was that you'd torn a meniscus, and we ended up having to wait our time to be able to go and have surgery because mm-hmm. all of the elective surgeries were shut down. You then had meniscus surgery. You came out of that surgery for a couple of weeks. You started to rehab, and Melbourne went into a total lockdown. But
oh my God. Yep.
It was a few days before that, about a week before that. I got on a phone call with you, which was quite interesting. And I said, Catherine, get the hell out of here. And you said, what? I said, get out of mm-hmm. here before the end of the week. And this was on the Monday. Mm-hmm. By the Saturday, mm-hmm. you're on a flight to Paris and, France. And we set up a training block in France for you. And You've spent the whole, basically the whole year since that moment in March or April, whenever it was, in France training, and then also playing through in Tunisia and spending the time over in Europe. So can you talk us through that time, obviously coming back from surgery, training over in France, and then how that felt to get away from obviously being in a total lockdown here in Melbourne?
Oh gosh, that was quite some good timing indeed. Like obviously from the very start, waiting for that knee surgery was a headache itself, because of elective surgery just got shut down. So obviously I needed that surgery to get back on track with this comeback, but then it was delayed, and then, you know, physiotherapy was paused for a little bit as well. So everything was very difficult with that part. And then finally, I think I had to wait for a month or a month and a half or something. It was actually looking to be that I could be getting surgery towards the end of the year. You know, at first, that was what I was hearing. And that was a massive panic that the whole year could, half of the year could be wasted. But it all ended up working out quite well, and just waited for, I think, a month and a half or a month, and then had that done. And then had the rehab, and then, yeah, COVID was getting really bad and really restricted. And then, yes, that's right. We had that chat and then made the decision to go to Europe, like, very spontaneously. But it was one of the best decisions that I could have made this year, definitely, because I think if I stayed on throughout, stayed in Melbourne throughout, I think that fire to come back and to keep continuing this journey would have been dampened quite significantly. Not much that I could have done here, and you know, time isn't waiting for me at all. You know, I'm not 20, 21 anymore. So that was the best decision made, for sure. And yeah, I did my whole rehab and stuff, the starting of the block in France, and then started my tournaments in Tunisia. And that was very difficult because obviously I've been away from home for quite a while, and no coach, no plans, nothing there, sort of just got to go out there and just play. And then it was very difficult after knee surgery and the coming back from lockdown. Yeah, got through it, I guess.
You actually had some time at Muratoglu's academy. Did you want to talk a bit about that time?
Yeah, that was a very eye-opening experience as well. Obviously they're one of the best academy in the world, and you know, to be there and to constantly be surrounded by top players, and you know, in the gym, on the court, like on the courts, in the cafeteria stuff. So it really raises your level quite a bit, and you know, it motivates you as well, but also puts a bit of pressure on you, because you know, obviously you're training at one of the best academy in the world. You've got to bring, you know, your A game and stuff. I had the opportunity to train a little bit with couple of the top girls, so that was a very great opportunity for me, just to see what it's like, to you know, how they're hitting their ball speed, and you know, how they present themselves on court and stuff, and in the gym, you know, off court, everything. So it's a great learning experience for sure.
Well, you mentioned top girls. You did train alongside and around Serena Williams. You had at the stage of Pavlyuchenko, but you were working very close with, so some of those girls are actually players that, you know, at the top of the game, and it was obviously
Grand Slams.
Yeah, absolutely. And look, I think the biggest thing that we talk about on this show, and we talk a lot about how planning goes ahead from a data analyst to a coach and so forth. And 2020 for us was planned to become basically a year where we just got back into it. We got our physical side right. We got our game right. We got our mentality right. And that was basically our plan. And obviously leading into 2021 is where we wanted to make sure that it was tournament focused. It was points focused, obviously. So the year has actually panned out quite well for you. And I know there's a lot of negatives around it. You know, you've had the surgery, you know, you've had COVID lockdown, we've had tournaments canceled, you couldn't get home, you've had to quarantine, but it actually worked out quite well because you've got your training blocks in, et cetera. Now, Shane and I also gave you a bit of a task, and that task was, we wanted you to film, you know, a lot of your matches over there, because what we do, obviously, between Shane and I, is we collate your data. And now with that data and your matches, we're actually able to plan for 2021. And Shane's done a great job in dissecting your whole game and being prepared for, obviously, 2021. So, you know, can you give the listeners a little bit of an idea as to how it feels to have a team around you that is able to not only support you, but actually give you the information you need from data, from coaching and so forth, and how that helps your mindset as a player?
Well, first of all, I think it's a very, very different feeling this time around during this, I'd say, this reboot of my career, because the first time was with just my dad. And so he was the main person for everything. And this time around, I feel that, you know, I have a much more solid sort of a foundation, mentally and emotionally as well. And it really feels like you're just simply not alone this time. And yes, I was on the other side of the world, and it was very difficult with the time difference. That was what I found the hardest, because when I'm on, pretty much you were going to bed or you are sleeping and stuff. So it made that communication quite difficult. But this team environment is just, it really helps you feel like, you know, someone is behind you, someone believes in you, and you know, you're just not alone, because tennis is a very individual sport. And when you step on that court, you are so alone. So,
yeah, you talk about being alone, and the messages, and I know, you know, Shane and I, you know, communicate a lot about your game. You know, waking up in the morning and hearing, you know, the loneliness sometimes and the way that you're feeling when you're traveling, you know, as a coach and as a team, we, you know, we're generally concerned sometimes about, you know, your well-being, because it isn't an easy, easy gig. Know, being on the tour, and people think it's this luxurious life of, you know, millions of dollars and, you know, lavish cars and beautiful places you travel to, but it's never that rosy. And I feel like having a team behind you is really critical. And you know, what Shane does, and it's like Shane and I obviously talk a lot about your game and so forth, but having that support around you now, obviously leading into pre-season, you know, we've talked to you a little bit about what's coming up, but Can you let the listeners in a little bit without giving away too much as to what, you know, we've been talking about in the last couple of days, week, around your game, where it's leading to, and how we're helping you obviously plan for a big preseason into 2021?
So I guess coming back from all the, you know, not playing for a while and obviously the injury and stuff, I think the big part that I found very difficult coming back to play matches and tournaments again is pretty much the tactical side and the constructing the points and how to win the points, because at this stage, everyone can hit a good ball, everyone is fit. But what are you doing differently that, that you know, will set you apart as well? So that's probably one of the main thing that we're going to try and work on this preseason. And it's something I've never really worked on ever before. So I'm really excited. You know, I've been given a few homework to do just to start being a bit more aware of different things, like especially the tactical side, which I've never even realized before. It's crazy, really. Like I've been playing tennis all my life, but suddenly now it looks different entirely. And now I'm watching tennis matches and I'm starting to look at different things, which is incredible, really. And I got to thank you, Mark, and, you know, Shane, you guys are really opening up my eyes, I think, in a different way. You know, I didn't think it's possible, but yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. One thing I want to sort of touch on, Mark and I sort of touch on this a number of times on our show, but primarily the conversation has been between myself and Mark, and other than maybe today, today was perhaps the first day that we talked about match video and some of the stuff on there. Generally that conversation is between me and Mark and we talk on our show about sort of providing the data firsthand and secondhand. And I'm very big on sort of firsthand. It's with the coach, goes through the filtration, the coach adds value, and then it gets to the player in, you know, whether it's drip fed at the right level or it's the right message at the right time. So might put it to you, Mark, on sort of elaborating on I suppose the reasoning behind that.
Yeah, so it's interesting because we've you know, Catherine, you filmed a lot of your matches and uploaded them for Shane, and Shane's doing the data on them, and every time you ask for them, Shane would text me and go, she's asking for her matches, and I'd say, don't give it to her because she doesn't know what she's looking for. And it's interesting. Yeah. This week we gave you I gave you an activity to do based on, you know, tactical concepts, the game, the court, how to beat the court before beating the opponent. You know, you watched a few videos, you did a little bit of homework. And then today when I said to you, you've got a job to do about watching your own matches now, and you text Shane, you said, Shane, can I have the link to my match? Shane texts me and goes, mm-hmm. she wants the link again, Mark. She wants the link again. I said, okay. yeah. She's yeah. now ready for the link. Send it to her.
Yeah.
And he's like, you yeah. sure? I'm like, yep, she's ready for the link. So,
yeah.
So basically one of the things that is important, I guess, with the data analyst, the coach and the player is that the player only, when you watch a match for the first time, you're generally looking at how you look as opposed to how you play. And mm-hmm. without the coach filtration and the ability for the coach to point out what you're looking for, the player is just watching how they look. And yeah. now what you've actually been able to do while looking at the tactical side of the game that we've been focusing on this week, you're now looking at the concepts as opposed to the way you look and the way that you're playing on the court. And mm-hmm. it takes away the emotional side and it gives you more of a structural look at the game. And
mm-hmm.
I think a lot of coaches out there, you know, may forward on videos to the player about their technique or their game, but the player isn't sure where to look. And the coach has a coach's eye that really can target what areas to look for. So, you know, obviously we've held it back until now, Catherine, but now we've given you the privileges of what we've had is that looking mm-hmm. at your matches, looking mm-hmm. at them from a different lens. And obviously
a different, that is a, yeah.
Yeah, it's mm-hmm. a critical component. And, you know, we're moving forward now. And obviously Shane and I have planned a big preseason for you. You really don't know what's mm-hmm. ahead of you just yet. We've given you a bit of an idea, but
yeah.
I think the biggest thing with what we've done, Shane's done a, and this is for our listeners out there, Shane's given me a 12-page analysis of Catherine's game. Of all the data stats, which corner she plays better from, which shots she has better success with, what patterns of play you have better success with, movement patterns, all this sort of stuff. And the one thing that I want people to understand out there is that with that information, I'm sorry, Shane, for all the work you put in, and I'm only going to take 3 points out of it, is that you've got to prioritize what are the most important things. And that's the key component of the data. And from this week onwards, when we start our preseason on Monday, it'll be based upon three key elements, which I'm not going to mention on this show to the millions of people that listen, Shane, that we've got obviously following us around the world, or probably the three people, which are probably my wife, your wife, and now Catherine. But I think if we can literally condense it into like two or three really key priorities, that's all the athlete is going to be able to take in and be able to prioritize. You can't prioritize everything, and it's important mm-hmm. to go, what's going to help this athlete get better? And Catherine, there's a whole lot of work ahead. There's a whole lot of preseason ahead of us. I know that you're excited with 2 days to go in quarantine over in mm-hmm. Perth in a luxurious hotel with food being delivered to your door. You must
oh, feel my God.
Privileged to be in the position you're in. We have had 8 months of lockdown, so you can get stuffed, right? Well, you're doing it for 2 weeks. All in all, what I mean, obviously, we've got, as hopefully people can understand and can feel through the speakers of their phone or their car, that we have a great relationship, we have a great team, we trust each other. And when it comes down to the crunch, it's about creating a team around your athletes. And Catherine, we hope you feel that. We hope you feel comfortable. Yeah. We hope you feel ready. Pre-season's ready upon us. So any last words from you before we leave?
Not really, to be honest. I'm just looking forward to pre-season and leaving my jail sentence. I know it's just only 2 weeks, but this is some serious jail sentence. But no, it's all right. It's just for the better cause. Yeah, I think, yeah. No, it's going to be good. It's going to be good summer of tennis ahead.
Yeah, we're looking forward to it. And obviously, big pre-season. We thank you so much for giving up your time in your luxurious
thank
hotel.
Thank you, guys. Can you stop with the word luxurious? Oh my God.
Thanks for your time. Obviously,
thank you.
Being part of our final show of 2020, the year of COVID, which obviously interrupted tennis. But Shane, mm-hmm. Thanks so much for what you bring or what you've brought to the table. And it's been a big year. We've got through hundreds of shows, or probably felt like that over time. We look at each other several times over this over the course of COVID. But thanks again for your hard work, your numbers, and what you bring to the table.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, Mark.
Thanks, Shane. I really appreciate it.
No, thanks, Catherine. Thanks, Mark. Yeah, it's been a great year. I don't think I've put my hand up and thought I'd be a podcaster, but it's a new talent, I suppose, that learnt. But working with Mark throughout the year has been amazing. And obviously, really enjoyed the time sort of working and looking at sort of Catherine's game. And I think, like Mark said, great preseason ahead for you. So I'm looking forward mm-hmm. to that.
Well, thank you very much, Shane. Thanks, Catherine Westbury. We look forward to a big 2021 with you. Mm-hmm. That has been our final episode of Crunching the Numbers, brought to you by the Tennis Menu and data-driven sports analytics. If you head to the Tennis Menu, you can receive an online coach. You can receive all the data that Shane's done. It is absolutely phenomenal. Shane is the best in the business. He's working with a lot of the top players, including Catherine Westbury. Looking forward to a fantastic 2021 with both Shane and Catherine. You can, don't forget, if you go to the First Serve podcast, you can check out In the Huddle, Aussies Only, the First Serve with Brett Phillips, as well as Crunching the Numbers with Shane and myself. Take a look at all of our episodes we've done over the whole year of 2020. We've spent a lot of time in front of this computer on Zoom, and hopefully you guys can go back and listen to all our previous episodes. Grab the latest numbers in the game. Use them for whatever you need to become the best coach, player, or tennis lover you can. Thank you so much for listening to Crunching the Numbers. We love bringing the data and the coaching side to your doorstep. So thank you very much. Looking forward to it, and we'll see you all soon.
Subscribe to The First Serve via Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or your preferred podcast platform to listen at your convenience to all our weekly content, including past editions of Crunching the Numbers, as well as our dedicated commercial radio program each Monday on SEN that you may have missed at 7 p.m. Eastern, Aussies Only, and In the Huddle, produced by Study and Play USA. Subscribe to The First Serve, your home of tennis.
Want to witness the world's biggest football game? Head to iCanWin.com.au, predict Australia's score with a crystal ball, and it could be you and a friend at the FIFA World Cup Qatar 2022 semi-finals, all thanks to McDonald's. Maccas, together and loving it. TNCs apply.